from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Pat Bostick, kind enough to join us for the remainder of the show today, and he got in just on time, just under the wire, and I told him I'd do a favor for him if he got in on time. And we'll tell you what that is a little bit later on in the show. But yesterday, Steelers practice, little drama, guys, where, and we've seen the video now, Alandon Roberts, like, nudges Justin Fields. I hadn't seen the video until this morning. I thought Alandon Roberts cheap-shotted the Steelers' stand-in quarterback. Nah, he threw a little shoulder into him. It was like a nothing hit. Well, then Mason McCormick and Troy Faltanu, two rookie offensive linemen, they took exception to it. They got after Alandon Roberts. Then Patrick Queen gets into it. Joey Porter Jr., because he's a Porter, he felt the need to get involved too, and all hell broke loose, and the benches cleared. What do you guys make of something like that? I'll give my opinion after the football guys give their opinion, but Doran, when you saw it, when you heard about it, when you've read about it, when you've gotten some of the quotes, what's your reaction?
I absolutely love it, and I'm sure Mike Tomlin absolutely loves it. I'm sure Arthur Smith absolutely loves it. You have two rookie linemen that you knew that you needed to get tougher, you needed to get nastier, and you needed to get better on the offensive line. It's the second day of pads, and you have two rookie guys going against a veteran, a guy who had won a Super Bowl. Like, he's not just some veteran. Like, he's been playing a long time. I mean, you look at a picture of Alandon Roberts, he looks like he's 40 years old.
He's a dude, too.
He's a great – like, he's been around a long time. For them to have the balls to go after a veteran defensive player like that, I absolutely love it. It was just a nudge. It wasn't anything crazy.
No.
But the fact that it's like, no, you are not going to touch our quarterback, and it's even our second day in pads, you got something there now. Like, that's legit. I absolutely loved it, and I'm sure that the whole staff does as well.
I concur. I love it. I have nothing else. He said it beautifully.
Pat, you've been doing radio for a long time. You're supposed to talk. When he's done talking, that's when you chime in. He shook his head for what felt like 37 seconds there before he said concur.
I love camp fights. And I think one of the more fascinating parts of it is at what point the coaches stop it or let it go.
Yep.
That to me is like a science, because they're in camp, what, a week now? You know, you got a bunch of dudes bunking up at St. Vincent, and it's hot. You know, any little thing could set a fire. And all of a sudden, you've got to fight. And that's the type of thing that, especially if you're, you know, it's an offensive lineman. Because one of the things I don't like, one of my biggest pet peeves, is when a quarterback gets hit or something happens and no one does anything.
Yes.
Anecdotally, I think that's been a problem these last few years.
I agree. I think it's something that Arthur Smith probably made a point of. Like, hey, guys, we're going to protect each other. And you implement that attitude. Plant that seed. And for a rookie to be the one to go to blows with a vet like that, I love it. I listened to TJ Watt's interview. He loved it.
Now, Tomlin called it unprofessional, but I guarantee you that's not what he
Well, here's the fine line, right?
Really,
it's 15 yards in a game. So that's the – and they always catch – once that used to say this. They never catch the first guy to do it. They catch who responds, who reacts. So it's just a fine line between you know, what's healthy and what's counterproductive. But, yeah, I for training camp, for that to be the spirit of things, for that to be what set someone off, it's a good place to start from.
Yeah, and you're going to see that in 2 weeks whenever Buffalo comes here and then they had the joint practice. I mean, that's literally orchestrated to, like, every – there's not one training camp practice that's a joint practice that there isn't some form of fight. Like, I feel like that's almost on purpose to see who's going to stand out, who's going to step up. But, Pat, you know, being a former quarterback, I know that you wouldn't go up to your offensive lineman and say, thank you for having my back, but how would you react if your offensive lineman, especially two young guys, had your back like that?
I'd love it. I mean, I definitely, you know, it wouldn't be immediate, but it'd be something you'd say something to him about, you know, appreciate it and that type of thing. Be smart.
A little fanny
like,
slap?
Like, be smart. Don't swing your fist at someone's helmet and break your hand. We don't need that. But, like, yeah, that's how you build camaraderie. That's how you build trust. That's a lot of things. And, again, I think it's healthy in training camp. I think what Tomlin's saying is, like, we got to manage that in game situations,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it can be a problem, especially when you play in the AFC North, right? And you're going to be in some chippy ball game, I mean, any game in the NFL. But the AFC North is about as hotly contested and there's as many rivalries in that division as there is anywhere. People are going to get under your skin. You can't always react and respond like that. So it's a fine line. But for training camp, 100% supportive of it, and I'd be grateful if I was Justin Fields.
It's interesting, too, because in, like, training camp fights, it's almost like a boxing match. You know how boxing matches, like, you're beating the you-know-what out of your opponent, but at the end, you touch gloves and, you know, you go your own way. Like, it's done. Like, right after that, like, you go in the locker room, you're going to have to see the guy again.
Hug it out.
And you're good. Like, and it's like, hey, we're all trying to fight for the same thing. And I'm sure that Landon Roberts in the time was like, okay, like, yeah, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to fight back. But, you know, being a veteran like he is, he understands – and he probably loves that as well. Like, hey, we're trying to fight for the same thing. And I get it.
Dorn, not playing anymore, watching practices, I can see fights coming from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
You can see, like, a little, you know, a little post-whistle skirmish turns into an hour later. Like, once we get into live, these guys are going out.
Oh, yeah.
And I love watching that.
Yep.
You make the mental note of the number.
Oh, yeah. It's like, okay, the twos are up. Here we go.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
This guy and this guy. Oh, they're you know the play's coming. Oh, they're running power. This guy's going to get double teamed. And, you know it's like, who's going to respond? And
you guys have seen some stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. I used to premeditate stuff like that. If somebody pissed me off, like in like a one-on-one drill, like a blocking drill, like in camp, and especially in college, like I knew that when we would go to inside run, or we would go to team, that there would be plays where I would have to kick out, say the DN, and say the DN pissed me off, and there would be plays where I'd have to bluff and then go into flat. And if that play was called, and I would know whenever the bluff was called, I would look like I'm going to like get after them, and then I'd get in the flat and then kind of just let them ease up a little bit, and then the next day we run power and I have to kick out, and I'd put my helmet right underneath the chin on purpose. Like I would target, literally.
Wow.
Target.
I love it.
And like say, let's go.
Didn't know that about you, Dorn.
Yes.
Actually, I did. Actually, I did. Michael Myers.
You ever get up in anybody's face in practice, Bostic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like somebody goes low or just falling around your feet or something, a little too much, a little love tap?
I would talk a little bit, but you have so much to think about at quarterback. It's just hard to get too emotional.
I like that from a QB, though.
Yeah.
I like when your QB's a little chippy.
You have to be. You have to have a little bit of an attitude, but again, it can't distract you. That's what's hard. You don't want him to be soft. I mean, Brady was as tough as anybody.
Yep.
Like, you listen to him mic'd up. I love it, man. I absolutely love that side of football. And it's good to see that it's not only happened in Steelers camp, but it seems to be in good blood, right? Like you can have that stuff happen and it can fester. And it can metastasize and turn into a problem. This one's like, oh, Rook, good job, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after practice, I think Alandon and Faltano probably were like, That's what you need to do, man.
Yes. Like, mm-hmm.
That's what you should
yes.
do.
Yeah.
And that's healthy.
When they've been good,
oh.
they've had offensive lines that will go to bat for their quarterback. Now, the quarterback was also very good in Ben Roethlisberger, but Maurkice Pouncey, you ain't screwing with that guy. You're not messing with David DeCastro. Really, Ramon Foster, when push would come to shove, he'd be a tough guy. Chris Kimoiatu would start a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was close.
Easy there, because I don't think Callis is there. Yeah, I almost swore. Chris Kimoiatu would peel guys off a pile routinely. If you are going to be this team that is tough and nasty and Arthur Smith and run the ball and play defense, that's not just between the whistle. That's got to be at all times. You can't say it without being it. Yep. I like, again, just day two of pads, money where the mouth is. I like it, and I like that it's two rookies, and they've already instilled that in both
of those
guys.
You know who the best was? McGlynn.
He would do that.
Mike McGlynn. Mike McGlynn. I've seen Mike McGlynn do things under the pile that I shall not repeat nor describe.
We're talking about groins?
Potentially.
We're talking about eye gouging?
We're talking about everything.
Yes.
We're talking about you want to get out of the pile as fast as you possibly can.
It gets nasty under there.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you in the pile?
That spit in my face.
Someone spit in your face.
Yeah. I got eye gouged. Yeah. I've gotten grabbed.
Yeah, grabbed in the testes.
Right in the old groinal region.
Mm-hmm. I've done it too, though.
I have not done it myself. I was trying to get the hell out of there.
So Pat Bostic's like, someone grabbed my foot and yanked me out.
No.
And Doran's like, I'm going in there with a switchblade and we're playing bloody knuckles up in here.
Yeah.
I like that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's no holds barred because, I mean, if there's five guys on a pile, what's a ref going to see? I mean.
That happens in practice,
the problem
too.
Now is the cameras are so good that, like, you start seeing stuff on replay and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then it's on Twitter like 30 seconds later and then you got to answer a question about it after the game. You know, back in the 90s or 2000s, even when we played, you had to like zoom in on film to like, oh, he did that? It's like grainy. You couldn't see it. Now it's.
Ndamukong and Sue, how many times do you do Zapruder film reaction to that guy?
You can't hide from it anymore. You know, before it was, you know, don't ask, don't tell, right? It was, this is football. But I mean, that McGlynn was, Greasy was, he got after it.
Do you know who spit on you? And if you do, would you say it?
No, I don't know who it was.
You don't.
Who was the linebacker for West? Pat, the middle linebacker. He's the one that ripped my helmet off.
Ben, shoot.
You can see it in the picture.
I'll think of it. Yeah.
I don't remember anything from that game. But he ripped my helmet off and punched me in the face.
Those games would get chippy.
I mean,
and they would let it too. Like, I mean, it was as chippy as it could ever get. Like, you know, before the games,
number
35. Yeah, I forget his name. I know who you're talking
Pat
about.
Pat something.
Yeah, I know. It's killing me right now. Give me a sec.
I want to say Anger, but that's a guy from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Pat something.
I'm on it. Just yeah.
I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
He's searching so hard. He's delaying. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yes. Well, I thought you guys would continue the conversation.
Well, it is not a foundational moment, but it kind of is for at least the rookies too. You're establishing your ground, and you know, even other rookies are like, you know, if you're Peyton Wilson, it's like, okay, well, I can't let these rookies one up me. Like, if somebody comes after me, I'm going to start something too. And
Pat Lazier,
yes.
Whenever you have young guys doing that, it's a decent sign, especially your offensive line.
Yes, absolutely.
Seriously,
and nobody got hurt. The 15 yards doesn't count. We were laughing really hard actually watching it. Like, Doran, you were pointing out, you're like, look at these two guys. They don't really want to fight. They're kind of just, like, hugging it out but pretending to be part of the fracas. And then you've got the ref, like, 18 seconds later, is like, oh, shoot, better throw a flag on this. I'm sure everybody cares that there's a flag.
He's watching. He's like, this is great.
This is awesome.
Who's going to win this fight? Oh, whoops. I'm here to do a job.
He's looking at Tomlin like, should I throw? Tomlin's like, oh, right now. Good.
I think Tomlin kind of started this because he wore the black Air Force Ones yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I did.
Tomlin looking good. I feel like he's got a little svelte.
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing white the other day. Now he's wearing the Air Force One. Shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Still in the Hunt Tomlin. Like, let's change things up. A little wardrobe change. Good thing.
Still got the aviators, though.
Oh, well. I mean, sometimes you ain't breaking a staple.
No.
He ain't breaking that
naturally.
Staple. Mm-hmm.
James Harrison gave him pass rush tips yesterday, huh?
Which.
How about the size of that dude?
Still.
Especially compared to Herbig.
Oh.
those guys play the same position? Okay, interesting.
There's some guys that you want on your team.
He is a wide human being.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd fit through that door.
Tomlin always used to say he's not small, he's short, because he was so stout.
He is stout.
I remember when he retired and then came back and they needed him to get into shape, he lost like 25 pounds in 2 weeks because he was in like bulky, I'm a bad dude weightlifter shape, and he needed to get back in football shape.
Right.
And so he would wear the weighted vest during practice, and he would wear sweatpants and a sweatshirt, the gray sweatpants sweatshirt. He would just pour sweat to get back into football shape.
I have to share this. I know we're probably going long.
That's okay.
I used to have nightmares when we were at Pitt that we scrimmaged the Steelers. Because I mean, it just would not have gone well. But I used to like, just to, you know, I was thinking about football all the time, and I'd have these dreams where like, I can just remember going under center and like looking to my right, and there's Lamar Woodley. Then I look to my left, and there he is,
just drooling,
just like those eyes looking at you, like, and I have to turn my back to that guy. I got to drop back and turn my back to him. You know, I love Jeff Ota. You know, love you, bud. But, you know, Doran and Nate Byam, like,
get tossed out the club.
You do me a favor and chip him for me, would you?
I mean, TJ Watt is a better player. There's no question.
Yeah, but he's not near as scary.
He's nowhere near as scary.
I would put James Harrison up there with Lawrence Taylor as the scariest football players I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In my life. Can you imagine?
Ray Lewis, is he on there?
He's on there.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. The thing with Ray Lewis is, for the most part, at least you had a little bit of separation. You know, he's 5 yards off the ball.
Right.
Harrison's just, and you, honestly, he's so short, you can barely, next thing you know, he's, you know, putting a hole in your back.
Oh, is that the worst?
Yes.
Just getting drilled right in your back, because you don't know. You can feel it, but you can't feel it.
The worst is getting planted on your back with a helmet under your chin. That's the worst. Getting hit getting, you know, blindsided, you just don't know it's coming. So you're like, it just happens. You get a little bit of whiplash and stuff. The biggest concern there is you don't fumble. But like stepping into one or knowing it's coming, throwing the ball and just getting planted, because you have no defense at all. And all of a sudden, then the worst part is just like, trying to get up, and you hope to hell you completed the pass, because that's the only solace there is in the whole damn thing.
You'd probably lose your wind too, which sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's no good.
It sucks.
That's just like, yeah, as a receiver too, it's like, you know, a lot of my coaches always said, you might as well, if you know you're going to get hit, you might as well catch it. I mean, you might as well get something.
Yeah, the alligator arms guys get cracked
well catch
either
it.
Way.
You're going to
yeah.
get hit regardless. You might as well catch the ball.
The alligator arms guys get knocked out. The guy that catches the ball is probably just going to get the wind knocked out of him.
You guys are going to love this transition given this conversation. If I were in the prime of my life, I just found out a way that I could play in an NFL football game.
This is going to be great.
I'm going to tell you next.
Oh my God.
You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you could text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protect.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Action. All right, you guys ready for this one?
No.
If I was in the prime of my life, I could play in the NFL.
Madden?
No, in the NFL. Not virtually, but just legitimately.
Holder.
So, Caboli tweets this out yesterday. There's all these new NFL kickoff rules, right? Well, here's one of the new rules. If the ball falls off the tee multiple times, not just once, but multiple times, a 12th man is allowed off the sidelines to hold it and then run right back off. I could do that. I could hold the ball and then run off the field. I'd probably run backwards first and then sideways.
You could stop and wave at your mom.
Yeah, of course. Mom, I made it. I made it. I could do that.
I don't know if you could get off the field in time for...
Oh, he's quick.
Yeah, I'm quick. I'm spry.
But, okay. Like, you can get off the field in time before the kickoff return team breaks through and is looking for people. Like, are you going to make it off in time if something breaks that somebody won't run into you?
That's why it's just a diagonal backwards beat for the sideline.
Takes them that long to get to where you're at, but then by the time they get there, you're off.
Well, I'll have to understand where they're going to kick it first.
I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think a team is going to acquire someone just for that.
But if they did, I could do it.
You know one job I'd never wanted to do? Two positions I never wanted to play in football, ever. Ever. Now, I did do it as in youth football when punting was basically like flat kicking, you had plenty of time. Punt returner, no chance. Not doing it. Not doing it. I'm not staring up in the sky while 10 dudes are running at me trying to maim me. Two, I am not on the hands team.
That's tough.
Gonna be the guy that has to go up there and make a catch.
For the game.
Like, and just get Goldberg speared.
That's a tough unit.
You probably did a lot of that.
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
Oh, Derek Turner was really good at that. But like, you're sacrificing life and limb.
Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's blocking for you.
I was just gonna ask, would you rather be the guy where the game, the season potentially is on the line and the ball is landing right in your arms and you gotta save yourself and the game and the season, or would you rather be one of the guys blocking and then you're also getting crushed?
Probably save the game, because most of the times, like, if you can time it up well enough and it's like the second bop of the ball hitting the ground, like, I would just knock it out of bounds.
Yeah.
And I'd turn my back. Like, I'd run to it, or I'd stay in place and then wait for it to hit, and then I would like turn and hit it out of bounds, so then I just get hit from my side. Sure. Easier said than done, though. Like, listen,
I'm smart.
That's what I would do.
Smart. Don't be
here. I would never catch it.
Don't be here. Just toss
it. Just whack it out of bounds.
Yeah, just like this. Kind of just turn, hit.
Because you're going to get crushed either way. Right. If you're trying to catch it and you get crushed, helmet can hit the ball.
Right.
Flies off. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, those are the two times in football where you've got no time to react to an entire team of players that know you're getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Punt returner and receiving an onside kick. At least at receiver, you know, linebacker's got to might be blitzing, has to read the quarterback's eyes, might have a zone responsibility. They're not looking at one receiver. Yeah, I mean, if you're running a crossing route, there's a chance you're going to get decapitated, but it's probably from one person, not like several.
Right.
Like, I don't know how we got on this. Probably because you did the most, you came up with the most idiotic way to get on the NFL field.
I can't think of any other way.
I would
get
pay
on the
to
field.
See you. Like,
well, you might.
Onside kick.
Well, you might. Because we have a running bet.
We do.
That if Justin Fields receives a kickoff return this year, he has to field a live punt as a punt return in a pit practice.
Fair catch.
Catches allowed.
They'll take the flag. I'll still hit you. Like, they'll still hit you. Like, take the 15-yard penalty in practice just to hit you. So you might as well.
I wouldn't wish that on you, but you know what? I like you too much. I don't want to see you die.
That would be bad.
It would be bad.
I don't think I'd catch the ball, first of all.
No.
Hey, no way.
He'd pull a hamstring before the ball hit the ground.
I think I would try to catch it and fall down.
Take a knee.
Mm-hmm. And I need to count on my teammates. My guy's coming down the block for me. I have to count on them to really have my back.
A bunch of pit guys yeah. blocking for a guy in a Beanie Bishop jersey.
Ah, jeez.
The most sacrificial position that is just out of this world is fullback, though, because like you're not getting any glory, and you're just there to do one job, and that is to go face-to-face with a linebacker or a safety or a defensive end, and you just get no glory. Like, you barely get the ball. Like, you're just out there just running full speed, and there's a collision. You're there to collide.
How many fullbacks' names in the NFL could we get right now?
Just the guy for...
Just Justin Juszczyk, right?
Juszczyk for... Yeah, I mean, that position's been... I remember Heinoski being like, oh, they're phasing out the fullback position. He'd always say that, and I'm like, dude, you're right now. It's gone.
You are the last one.
Like it is gone. Like it is the closest thing the Steelers have is Connor Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's not the same as Dan Kreider.
No, he's not Dan Kreider or
Lorenzo Neal.
No, he's not. I mean, that you mentioned
somebody, Mike Allstott.
Allstott was a running back.
Yeah,
but he was fullback body
looking,
type.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to think. I can't really name anybody but Juszczyk.
Now, Roosevelt Nix they would use in that role at times. The Steelers
Roosevelt
did. Nix. Remember Rosie Nix?
Yeah.
He'd get like five snaps a month.
Dan Kreider, Mannheim Central High School.
Dan Kreider was that guy.
Yes.
Oh.
He was that dude. Imagine, not to take this totally off the rails, but this entire segment has been off the rails.
Brought to you by Guardian Security.
That's right. Guardian Protection Services. Imagine goal line, and you got Alan Faneca, followed by Dan Kreider, followed by Jerome Bettis. And you're supposed to not let that meat shove your ass into the end zone?
Right.
Best of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine James Harrison as a fullback?
Think about it. Because like as a linebacker, like you have to take on the fullback. Like, you can't avoid. Because if you avoid, and then that's where the hole gets created. So mm-hmm. You have to go straight through. In order to stuff
near
the
arm
hole.
It, Doran. You got to near arm it.
And like, it is.
Spill it.
I'll never forget. What was his name? Jackie Battle. Jackie Battle was fullback in Tennessee. And I was the second fullback. And it was goal line. It was during camp. And who was I forget the linebacker's name. But he just absolutely rocked him on the first play. Absolutely took him down. And I knew. In the
HB deep, Blades?
It was in Tennessee.
Oh.
And I knew, and the defense knew, and everybody else knew that the second group was going to run the same set of goal line plays, and I was in there at fullback and had to go against the same guy. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I just prayed. I prayed. I got the job done, but it is a whole nother level.
Well, he's – remember this guy about a segment ago talking about how he was going to hurt people? Now he's praying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
different levels.
You need to find
I picked
strength
my battles
somewhere. Yeah.
I picked my battles.
I picked my battles. I didn't play fullback.
Yeah. You got to pick your battles. Like, I ain't doing that against James Harrison.
But seriously, I could hold the ball.
No.
I could do that. And then get off the field real quick.
Can you imagine? You'd probably break his finger. Ow!
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that part. They actually have to kick the ball.
Ouch!
That would, I think I'd let go too early.
What if it is the onside kick, though?
You'd hold the ball and fall off the tee again.
You could. How about this? Yeah, let's get into this a little bit next. Because you guys wanted to crush the Bears. Because the Hall of Fame game is tonight. But there is actually something worth watching that we discussed yesterday. We'd like Pat's opinion on it. Football with Bostic when we return. Pat Bostic, kind enough to join us for 3 hours today. They're taking him all the way up until 10. We'll get to O'Neal Cruz costing the Pirates a victory in the 9 o'clock hour and a just insane conversation between Paul Zeiss and Dan Zangrilli that we got to react to. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. But there is football tonight, the Hall of Fame game. And before we get into what, Doran, you brought up as something you want to see, we're not going to be seeing Caleb Williams. And Pat didn't know how you felt about this. You're both really annoyed by the fact that there's no Caleb Williams. Why?
I mean, what, he's a rookie quarterback. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have new players on the offense. And, I mean, he hasn't established himself yet. Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, usually quarterbacks and players that sit out are established. The Aaron Rodgers, even Russell Wilson to an extent. You know, you're not going to probably see Joe Burrow. You're not going to see the big-time quarterbacks as Josh Allen's because they've established. They played NFL football. They played at a high level, the Mahomes. What has Caleb Williams done? And have they seen enough in camp for them to say that he doesn't need to play? It makes zero sense. Are they trying to hide him? Are they trying to coddle him? I just don't get it, and it really bothers me.
It bothers me, too. It would bother me if I was a member of that team, you know, and I was a fourth-year player that's playing in the game. You know, this is a team that stunk.
Yeah.
Right?
And has stunk.
It needs to, you know, you're mortgaging your future on this guy, and he hasn't played an NFL game yet. He needs every rep he can get, and I struggle with this level of kind of what seems to be entitlement. I struggle with it because, you know, I believe at that position more than any other position, the odds are stacked against you as a quarterback. People already think you have it easy. You're given everything as the first overall pick. You've got to earn the respect of others. If it's his choice or his preference not to play, like if I'm him, I'm begging to play.
Yes.
I don't think it is his choice. I think it's all Eberflus. Like, I don't think...
Let me play a series. I'll hand the ball off 5 times.
Oh, I agree with you that he should be campaigning to play, but I don't think that they would allow him to have the final say.
See, that's been my problem, and I know Whaley is enamored with his talent. So am I. But, you know, when you after a game, say I want to go home and cuddle with my dog, you know, like, this dude just... I want to see that he has it. Like, it. Does he love football? Because I don't think he does. And I want to... Not playing in a preseason game. I don't care if you hand the ball off 5 times and punt. Play. You should be begging to play. You should be saying to the media, I want to play, but they're not letting me play.
Why do you... So say, like, it is Eberflus, guys. Like, why do you think that they made that decision? Like, what is their reasoning behind him not playing?
I mean, I don't want to get him hurt. I don't know.
It's football. What do we do?
Like, it's...
You're going to have the extra game, so you play him the 3 regular ones, I guess.
That's not a bad call.
Would the thought process be? But mine would be this, similar to you guys. It doesn't bother me. It bothers me from an enjoyment of the Hall of Fame game standpoint. Like, if he were playing, I'd be much more interested and probably not going to fall asleep. But I would want to see him against other jerseys, yes, as much as I possibly could to develop a rapport with my guys, even if you play your guys more than Houston's going to play their guys. I mean, I'd want to see him on air as much as possible with his guys because you're trying to develop that relationship.
Houston, you know, went to the playoffs last year. Chicago won, what, 4 games?
It was bad.
I mean, you got to earn it. You just have to earn it. I don't care if you're the first overall pick or not. It's disappointing to me, and again, the air of arrogance around it from the beginning.
You just have it out for Caleb.
I don't. I really don't. I think he's got generational talent.
It's because he was throwing to Jordan Addison.
No, I love Jordan Addison, but I just, like, go play. Go play and prove it. Prove that you're better than how you played on the field last year. Because I didn't see, it wasn't that good.
No, not last year. No. I mean, he does have, like, you know, the talent to be good. I mean, but if I'm the NFL, I'm probably pretty pissed off right now because this is probably – they knew that they were going to have the first pick. They knew that he's probably going to be the first pick. They wanted to showcase him in this game, and it's the Hall of Fame game to kick off the season. Like, you want to bring in as much engagement and eyes as possible. If he was playing, a lot more people would be probably interested in watching.
Yeah, it's the whole Paul Skeens All-Star game
thing. Yes, yes. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, if I was the NFL, I'd be like...
You're playing.
Yeah. He needs to play. He needs to be out there. We need to see him with a Chicago Bears helmet on. and calling plays and hearing his cadence. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
You did say you were excited about the new kickoff rules and getting to see that for the first time.
I am. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's gonna lend another element to the game, because and I haven't seen it yet, but from whatever I've garnered and all the information, I believe it'll be ran like a offensive play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of thinking and doing the logistics in my head, like, I would put, you know, like the Ravens. Who's their backup quarterback? They have a couple backup quarterbacks that can actually run. Like, if I have a backup quarterback that can run, like, they will be back there because how close everybody is, and if you could find lanes, but if you could also throw lateral to another guy, like, you could create plays off of that. And it could be interesting. It could definitely be interesting. So I'm anxious to see how that actually looks and what different things can and possibilities could come off of that.
Yeah, I mean, the separation between the receiving team and the kicking team is going to be significant.
It's going to be a competitive play now.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's going to be your chances of success in scheming something up. It's far less reactionary. Far more like you could be proactive.
Right.
In how you plan to utilize personnel, alignment, all those things. I'm fascinated to watch it. It's probably as big of a change as any rule we've seen, aside from probably targeting.
Yeah.
That we've seen in football in the last decade.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me. That's when I pee. That's when I get my beer. And I didn't need it. I wasn't asking for it. I don't know that anybody was asking for it. Maybe players. Maybe players union.
It might do something for you, though. If you see something that happens and, like, there are big plays, like, you ain't going to want to miss that, right?
Correct. But it's not going to keep me around watching this game.
Oh, okay.
For longer than a half hour until I finally snooze myself to sleep on the couch.
Okay, I got you.
But overall, yeah, sure, I think it's fine, and it may well wind up making kickoffs great again, for lack of a better way of saying it. Nobody kill me. Nobody get mad at me, okay? Just relax. Everybody chill. All right, coming up next. So tonight, Hall of Fame game. We're not going to have a Thursday without football until, like, January. That's wonderful. Also, this month, we got college football. Pitt, Penn State, West Virginia, all opening up on August 31st, and all these different coaches, in their own ways, have pressure on them. We'll talk about that coming up. False start, 5-yard penalty. I didn't have the mic on there.
Mic off.
Yeah. That was actually one of those deals where it's like the entire offensive line moves except for the center.
Have you seen some of the outtakes of refs? Like, false start on the entire offensive line?
Yes. He was giving him the business?
Yeah, he was giving him the business.
One of my all-time favorites.
Ed Hockley.
Oh.
Sean Hockley. Jacked.
You think the next generation of Hockley will also referee? Do you think it's just you keep it in the family for as long as you can?
Absolutely.
Sure. I would hate to be a ref. Today?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
You're never right.
No. They slow everything down. You can see just how wrong you are. And then they got the overlords who are helping decide things on when you go under the hood.
In New York.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. The city of brotherly love. 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I saw, and we're going to get back into the Pirates coming up in the next hour, but I saw Pitt was picked 13th in the ACC, which is a nice chip on the shoulder of one Pat Narduzzi. I think he wants respect. I also don't think it hurts when he's got an extra motivating factor. How much pressure is on the Nard Dog this year, guys? 3-9 last year, coming off of as good a 2-year run as there's been in a long time for Pitt football. What kind of pressure is on Narduzzi?
I think there's pressure. I mean, we're you know, obviously coming off of a season that I don't think a whole lot of people saw coming. And you know, you're heading into an era of a 12-team playoff where the pressure and the stakes of getting into that conversation. You were in the conversation 2 years ago. And there was a little bit of a drop off in 22, and then a significant drop off in 23. And you're year 10 at the head,
holy
at the cow. Helm of the University of Pittsburgh football program, and heading into a much more results oriented. Let's be honest, the cash and the money on the table for winning is going to be at an all time high. So there's pressure for sure to bounce back. What that looks like, I think, remains to be seen. You know, what is success? I think. Certainly, you can't do what you did last year again. that's not up to the standard he said so much yesterday. I think the schedule is more doable, probably, in, at least in conference. You don't have Florida State. You don't have Notre Dame. You still got Clemson. You don't play Miami. You play Louisville at Louisville. That's a tough matchup. You got Cal at home. You're not going out west. SMU is a tough game on the road. Obviously, you got the backyard brawl in Cincinnati on the road. So it's a redemption year, but it's also, I think, a validation year because it proves whether or not last year was a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the, you know, really the story here.
What college coach doesn't have pressure, though, in this landscape of college football? I mean, even if you think about Ohio State and Ryan Day, I mean, they're pulling in, what, $15 million in NIL, and that's what they have to use compared to even, you know, the Pitts of the world and other schools, and he has a lot of pressure to win. James Franklin has a lot of pressure to win. They're pulling in NIL money. Even with the team, the coaches that are pulling in the big time, I mean, new coach at Alabama. I mean, all these schools and all these coaches have a lot of pressure. But directly to Narduzzi, I think his pressure was, all right, we saw what happened last year. Are you willing to make the appropriate changes to see if you can go into a different direction and get to winning this year? And I think that he made those decisions. He was like, okay, like this was bad. Now I have to change it. I have to go in a different direction. He made appropriate changes for now. We'll see if it pans out.
Cade Bell.
But I think that that was the pressure for him. I think that there always will be pressure for head coaches in college football and for Pat Narduzzi. But I think the big pressure was to what moves are you going to make to get you back to being a championship caliber team? And he made that. Always will be pressure, but I don't know if there's as much pressure as there once was, you know, 6 months ago than there is now. Now he can go focus on playing football. But the NIL, all that stuff that Pat was talking about, there's always going to be pressure for everybody. But I think that now that, you know, he's made the appropriate moves on paper, I think that gives him a better feeling of heading into this season, knowing that he's trying to fix things.
Mm-hmm. I think for Penn State, they got to be in the playoff. Like, I think for them, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, I agree with you guys, and Pat, I agree with what you said. What is a successful season for Pitt? Well, let's let camp play out, and let's see. Penn State, James Franklin been able to do a lot of good stuff there, except for get over the hump. And now it's easier to get over the hump. They're not playing Ohio State. They're not playing one of Ohio State or Michigan. They got USC on their schedule, something like that. They need double-digit wins. They need to make a playoff. If they don't make a playoff, I think he might be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the outcry is going to be
they're uneasy.
He's
going
to be gone.
They're uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
They play Ohio State at home.
Okay, so it's Ohio State that they
not
have,
Michigan, right?
And they don't play Michigan.
At West Virginia, Bowling Green, Kent State, Illinois, UCLA at home, at USC, at Wisconsin, Ohio State, Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland.
That's a tough schedule compared to what they've played recently, even without Michigan. It had been, they play Ohio State, they play Michigan, they're beating everybody else. Now USC, Washington, Wisconsin could be improved. That looks harder. But also the barrier of entry should be easier. You go 9-3 in the Big Ten, depending on who the losses are to, you should be in. And if you are not, whenever you supposedly have this quarterback now, even though he wasn't great a lot of the time last year, you better get in or you're in big trouble, mister.
Yeah, I think the pressure up there is different. You know, James Franklin said it, I think, at Big Ten Media Day that, you know, we're one of the few places where 10 and 11 wins is people aren't happy with it,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you're kind of creating your own problem, right?
Yeah, victim of your own success.
You're victim of your own success, but I think the inability to win the big game is what really that's what's holding him back.
Okay,
he in one breath you make the comment that we're an elite program, we can win 10, 11 games, but when you play the elite, you're not elite. And that is, I think, what has Penn State fans kind of irked is like, okay, we're elite against teams that aren't that good. But when we play Ohio State and Michigan, we win one out of eight times.
Well, so I'll argue against my own point then here, because I said you make the playoff, maybe that satisfies Penn State fans. Well, you go 9-3, 10-2, lose against big-time programs, find yourself in the playoff, lose a playoff game to a big-time program. Are you really in that different of a spot?
No.
No.
No, you're not.
No.
And that's where they've been. They've been in the Rose Bowl. They've been in, you know, big games. But They haven't been able to gain on the rest of the division, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't been able to close that gap. And the issue there, whereas Pitt and West Virginia, to varying degrees, they're not at the top of the resource chain, food chain. Penn State's at or near the top of the resource food chain. You've got everything you need up there. Everything you need. You've got 110,000 people. You've got money. You've got all the things you need. They're renovating the stadium. They've got it all. And they're hitting their head on Ohio State, Michigan. And then they'll stumble one other time. Or they'll beat one of them in an off year and lose a game they shouldn't.
To West Virginia on August 31st.
I've said it before, I think they'll lose that game. I think West Virginia will win that game. It's just that place is going to be a buzzsaw down there.
I'm going to puke.
But, you know, and for Neil Brown at West Virginia, it's, you know, where Pat Narduzzi's trying to validate the two seasons prior to last year, Neil Brown's got to validate last year.
Correct.
And I think, you know, 9-3, the 9-4 was what they finished,
mm-hmm.
it's a significant improvement. They were a couple plays away from being 7-6.
They were also a couple of plays away
from being 11-1.
Correct. Right. Correct.
So it's a validation year for him, because I'm still not convinced that Mountaineer fans think he's the coach of the future. I think they want to see another year of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seemed to have stabilized things, you know, personnel-wise. They seem to have stabilized things in terms of retaining players. They've got their quarterback back. It's a validation year for him. You got a new AD last year.
It used to be you go 9-3 three straight years, you get replaced by Dana Holgorsen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to go 9-3 in the regular season, I think, for him. So I think all these coaches have pressure, different pressure, but in the same way, the same, because it is the NIL era. And I think winning begets winning. And if you put together a couple of bad seasons for Pitt, well, you're trying to get cash.
Mm-hmm.
If you put together a 7-5 season in West Virginia, you're trying to get cash. You're trying to get more players to come in. You got to pay players. And then you got the whole budgetary situation coming up for these schools.
Exactly. Plus you're on, let's say locally, regionally, right? We're hyper focused on the Pitt program, the West Virginia program. It's about the success level of that program right now. But also, you're fighting for, let's just call it what it is, survival in the landscape of college football. So I think that puts an added pressure more so on the Pitts and West Virginias that, again, they don't have the resource base that is as flush with cash,
mm-hmm.
as flush with attendance. Yeah, right. You've got 50,000 more people going to a Penn State game than a West Virginia game when they're both sold out. 40,000 more. Think about that. 40,000 more. That's an entire stadium
mm-hmm.
of people.
That's taking Nippert Stadium from Cincinnati and just slapping it right on top. Right?
Yeah. So, and you've got that going on, but you're fighting to stay in the game, right? And the game's changing as you're playing it in college football. So, in some ways, it's got a Premier League feel of almost relegation,
yep.
right? And so, you know, the wins and losses are amplified. That's why I think the pressure right on Pat Narduzzi, because you would have said 2 years ago, you know, Pitt in the top five of the league.
They're
right?
In a great spot.
You're in a great spot.
Desmond Howard had him going to the playoff 2 years ago.
Last year, right, you've completely, you know, you've caused a little bit of doubt. And I think that's why this year is so important to bounce back. And bouncing back could be 7-5. It could be 8-4. It could be 10-2.
Yeah, just find your footing again.
Find your footing and go, you know, score some points.
Mm-hmm. What caused Paul Zeiss to go like this?
No.
What caused Paul Zeiss to get like this?
If they miss the playoffs, it's an F-.
We're going to talk about that coming up next. Pat Bostick in with us until 10 o'clock. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road in McMurray, or at sunchevy.com today. High 90.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.